I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hello and welcome to Toon Jam. I am Matt.
And I'm J-Man.
And today we are talking all about El Defo. Mm-hmm. Indeed. Okay, so maybe you've heard of it, maybe you haven't. Let me tell you a little bit of information about it. It's a three-part animated miniseries adaptation of the graphic novel by the same name, released on Apple TV Plus on January 7th. 2022. As I said, there's only three episodes of the show, but it is based, and I believe quite closely, on the graphic novel, which is written and illustrated by C.C. Bell, who also narrates the series. The book is a loose autobiographical account of Bell's childhood and life with her deafness. The characters are all anthropomorphic bunnies, which C.C. Bell said in an interview that what are bunnies known for? Big ears, excellent hearing, rendering her choice of character and their deafness ironic. It has been nominated for awards and has been quite well received, I believe, overall, critically. But what scores has it got on, particularly on IMDb? Unfortunately, there is no Rotten Tomatoes score. Why? I cannot tell you. I just can't tell you, I'm afraid.
We just don't know.
We do have an IMDb one. So let's play guess the score. So Jay, what do you think the score is for El Defo?
I think it's going to be, I'm going to go 7.9.
7.9. A good guess.
Quite high.
Yeah, very high. Still off the mark.
Oh.
It's actually 8.2.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not too far away.
So 8.2 there, just scraping off the mark. Mm. But yeah, it's still pretty well received on there.
Yeah.
High score, isn't it? For
that is a good score, yeah. Since January as well.
Right. Yeah, so it's had time to sink in. Mm. But, I mean, we know what the critics are saying. Well, I mean, the IMDb critics. But what are the truly... often harsh, but sometimes pleasant critics of Twitter saying.
Yes, Twitter seems, you know, generally happy with El Defo too. We've got Joe, who says, anyway, El Defo is excellent. First episode made me cry a lot.
Oh. Wow, very emotional.
Mm.
There you go. Yeah. So, I mean, first episode, getting straight in with the With the tears.
Yeah. Just, yeah, I guess it is kind of that show. It's like, it's very down to earth, isn't it? So,
yeah. Maybe. And I mean, it's a real story. It's all true.
So, be aware. Tearful folks, you may need the tissues. Even in episode one.
Yeah. The first act.
Yes. Of three.
Of three.
We've got Minu Kerama. Sorry about that. Who says, Al Defo was actually an amazing show. Short and sweet. And then they have a little, like, nerd emoji.
Why? Yeah. So just straight up praise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Short and sweet. A bit like the tweet.
Yeah. Very much so.
The review itself. Short and sweet.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't. It's been a while since I've come across like an animated miniseries for a while. Like.
Yeah. Especially such a miniseries.
Three eps.
Three eps.
Three like eps. Wow. It's
very rare, isn't it?
But yeah, some people. That's good for folks, you know.
Yeah.
Get it all in, nice and easy.
Well, that's it. Today's generation, very short attention span.
Very short. And we'll be coming on to this very shortly.
Very
shortly. We've got IBGA who says, I think El Defo might be the best kid show I've ever seen.
Wow. Very high praise.
Mm.
I wonder how old they are.
Yeah.
Just to add to the amount of... if they could have watched. Maybe it's like the third show they've watched.
Never delved into the animated realm.
Yeah, maybe they just are a kid and they're going through the shows like, wow, this is the best one I've ever watched.
Show one, best show I've ever seen. Show two, second best show I've ever seen.
But jokes aside, a good review, a very good review.
Still very positive.
Yeah,
very
sterling.
Positive. Yeah. Then we have Queer Def. Relevant name for today's episode, I suppose. Who says, recently watched El Defo, the show, and I was excited about it. And wow, they really demonized sign language in that one several times. Nervous face, nervous face.
Oh. Wow. I mean, we didn't see that in the first episode.
No, it must be in one of the later ones.
Yeah. Oh boy, so interesting things to come. Wonder why that's all about.
What was that, sorry?
I said I wonder what that was all about.
Yeah. Strange. I mean it's I guess maybe it's through CC's experience of like the way that it helped, because there was the stuff about lip reading in this one, wasn't there?
And
that just didn't really always work all the time. Like you saw the flaws of lip reading, which you probably never really thought about before. So maybe it's the same with this, the sign language, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wow.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's illuminating, isn't it? The show. I mean,
yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. But yeah, heads up. Heads up if you're a big sign language fan. There may be some.
Yeah, and that's a good tweet to find there, because you know that might be something that we wouldn't have picked up on, or
yeah,
we don't know yet because we've not seen it, so we didn't.
That's it. We don't know yet.
You just don't.
We've got Stephen Briseno who says, "The El Defo show on Apple TV Plus is just so good, and having CC narrate it." Just something so special to behold.
And that's exactly how they wrote it.
Yeah, that's exactly how
they wrote it. In that tone.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's true, yeah. You know, it's nice having the actual author of the book narrate it.
Oh, yeah, it is a really nice touch. Like, and I mean, how else could you get it to feel more, you know, personal than having, you know, that one person, that key person.
Well, that's it straight away, because I mean, you know, like, obviously it says quite big instantly based on the book by CC Bell, and then she introduces herself straight away.
Yeah.
So you know it's her instantly.
That's it.
And it really does. So then it becomes like, it becomes like a documentary almost, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's like, you know, when you watch a Jackass episode and it's like, hi, I'm Johnny Knoxville, welcome to Jackass. He's like, oh, okay, I get it. I get who this is. I get what they're about.
You know there's going to be tears in the first episode.
That's it, straight away. And then finally, we've got Mitch Cohen, who says, last night we watched El Defo on TV Plus. It's based on one of my daughter's favorite books by C.C. Bell. Holy cow, so good. If this show doesn't at least win a sound / audio Emmy next year, there is something wrong with the world.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very interesting point to bring up. That there is so much in the way of kind of showing you how she hears.
Yeah.
Throughout. And so you really get, it puts you in her shoes.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, used in a really, I mean, like that's a really smart way to sort of get that point across, isn't it? Like,
well, it's interesting as well. The most of the dialogue is actually filtered through hearing aids.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So it is really genuine.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, you can see exactly what they're saying with that. That's a very good point.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, that's something that you, yeah, as soon as it starts happening, you're like, oh yeah, this is probably given me a better perspective of, you know, what being deaf's like than I've had before.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I mean, you do see them try and sort of portray things like this in films and stuff before, you know, you'll get like muffled audio or whatever, but not to this degree, I don't think. And no. you're not really experiencing it from someone's perspective of they're trying to actually figure out what they're saying. And
yeah,
you know, you're trying to watch people's mouths and stuff. And it's a really good way of illustrating like what that experience must be like.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not something, you know, when they do it in other stuff and in films and stuff, you're kind of like, well, is this actually what it's like, or is this just someone's best guess?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, when the fact that this is actually done through a hearing aid.
Yeah, that's really impressive.
Yeah, yeah. It really shows you how difficult it must be as well, because it is really like, not until she gets her, you know, much bigger one at the end.
Mm.
It's still really muffled and quiet and
difficult. Yeah.
Really interested in that way.
Very much so. And yeah, heads up, that is kind of, the audio is meant to be like not 100% all the way through. So if you've got like your 7.1 surround and you're trying to like be like, oh, just get these levels perfect.
Yeah, on the speakers,
like,
of course.
Heads up, it's not going to be perfect. Yeah. Like, that's the point. This is like, this is not the show to test your speakers out on.
Right? Yeah. Well, I think that's, it's obvious, isn't it? You're not like, what's gone wrong?
What's happening?
Yeah, you know, it's obvious why.
Yeah. But yeah, so generally Twitter, fairly positive, apart from, you know, the possible sign language stuff somewhere down the line. So.
Yeah, yeah. So interesting. So yeah, nothing really, I would say, heavily damning.
No.
But yeah, I mean, I suppose when it's, you know, someone's genuine interaction with things such as sign language and lip reading and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not necessarily, it's someone's opinion of how their situation is, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
So interesting. But yeah, very favourable. And high ratings, like pretty much all across.
Yeah, people seem to enjoy it. A win for Apple TV there.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know about you. I didn't know really what to expect from this show.
No.
Obviously, going in, it just kind of starts. But, you know, after watching the first episode, you're like, yeah, I can't see that a theme tune is necessary.
Yeah.
3 episodes as well. That was the first thing, you know, you're like, oh, there's only 3 episodes.
Yeah.
It's like, how strange.
It's, yeah, almost unheard of in the, you know, animated series.
Yeah. Like, but, I mean, guys, you know me. I can barely get through 2.
This is it.
So this is possible. I could watch all of this.
It's almost your perfect show. Like if it was just the one, that would be your perfect show.
No, because the trouble is, if it's just one, I can't get through it. It's a relative thing, you see. It's like, I can only watch like 10 minutes of it then. 10 minutes or less.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, interesting. And it really, like, genuinely does illuminate, like, so much. Obviously, we've only seen her in her very young years, so I think, it, you know, it goes through her life, doesn't it, through the episodes?
Yeah, yeah, it seems that way. She's growing up.
So this is being very young, going to nursery and then starting school. That's kind of what we see in this episode. But yeah, you kind of, it really just shows you how much, and I think it's so easy, you know, if it's not present in your life, and this is, you know, any form of, like, anything different really in other people's lives, if it's not in your life, you just, you're not aware of it.
No.
And it's not your fault, is it? It's just, you know, it's, how can you be?
Yeah. Yeah. You can't see the world from everyone's perspective at the same time, can you?
Yeah.
Like,
no.
It's just, you know, whatever you do, that's kind of like, that is your world. But
it's
really not, like, this does seem like a really cool way to sort of, you know, show what it's like growing up. And obviously these are all very personal experiences as well. So, like, it feels like, you know, you are the fly on the wall in Cece's life in this. It's, you're getting those really sort of poignant moments of, like, oh, that must have been, like, quite a struggle, or, like, oh, I've never thought of what that would have been like, you know. A very different show.
And I think, you know, stuff like this, obviously we've tackled all sorts of, like, I mean, this, you know, the current climate, you know, forcing minorities into the center stage, and stuff like that. Like, you know, online is buzzing with people arguing about it all the time. People saying, you know, for and against for whatever reason. But you watch this and it easily makes you realize why it's so important.
Yeah.
Because again, if it's not in your life, you don't know about it. So that's why, you know, kids in school, it's easy to make fun of someone that's different.
Yeah.
And think nothing of it afterwards, because you just, all you're doing is trying to fit in your own way, I guess. That's what kids are doing, isn't it? Trying to be liked. Something like this. Whereas, you know, if they've seen this, they understand it more. And then they also understand, you know, how much they could upset someone.
Yeah.
With things like that.
Yeah, it's definitely good that this is, you know, I mean, obviously that was the intention of the graphic novel, I guess, was to get it into sort of kids' hands as soon as possible, so that they could see this sort of perspective of things. But yeah, like, as a kids' show, it does work really well, because these are things that, you know, I mean, parents have got a lot to kind of try to wrestle with at the best of times, but to try and sort of, like, teach them all these different perspectives and stuff at the same time, it's like, you know, this is a great thing to sort of add to, you know, I guess, like, any kid's kind of repertoire of, you know, what it's like out in the real world, sort of thing. And it's very, very sort of easy to get to grips with and understand. Like if I was a kid, I imagine there wouldn't be much in here, if anything, that I didn't really get. You know, it's very much kid friendly. And I mean, like, the look of it as well is very, it's very pleasant to look at, very nice art style, and the animation is, like, really smooth and stuff. Like,
it's almost got a feel of, like, whilst it's still being different, but a certain element of, like, Arthur.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of wholesome, you know, I guess because it's, like, rabbits as well.
Yeah.
Or rabbit. And you know, any animal with a hairdo is very Arthur, isn't it?
That's true, yeah.
But, yeah, it has got that kind of pleasant feeling to everything. And you know, like, we've talked about it before, you know, when you watch a good sort of kids show where it's like especially when they're, like, the main character is a toddler or whatever, it can either feel like, oh, this is just, you know, there's no way this is for me, but, you know, my baby will like it or whatever. But this is, it does have that kind of nice feeling where you're like, oh yeah, I remember watching shows like with this same feeling. A little nostalgia.
That's it.
At the start. But then obviously it quickly changes to something you've never really seen in this format.
Yeah.
And that is a big thing about it, is it feels like something brand new, and you get really sucked into it, don't you?
Oh yeah, it's crazy how quickly you sort of you're involved, like, because it's such a gripping, I guess, tale, really. Like, it's the story of it is very much like, oh right, okay, like, you know, it happens very fast, because I was sort of like wondering how it, you know, what the start would be like and stuff. But yeah, Cece's just you know, everything's all good until one day it all goes horribly wrong, sort of thing, and then that's kind of how it pans out. And at that point you're with her on the journey, aren't you? You're fully involved. So getting to see all these new additions and getting the hearing aids in and stuff, and it's a real it is a real eye-opener.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And it's like, I'm glad someone's telling these stories, you know, like it's one of those things where it's like, oh, I'm glad I watched that. it's helpful.
Yeah, it is. And it does, like we say, it does open your eyes to a new world, really.
Yeah,
that isn't new. It's very much out there and has been for a long time, but it's new to you. And I think that is, but it, as well, to sort of go off, like, it's not just, obviously it is mainly about that, but it's all also about her dealing with it, and using this sort of superhero alter ego, to kind of comfort herself when she's really upset about it. Has these little imagination things and stuff like that is like classic. Like, that's, you know, kids will love that as well.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because it really illustrates to them like how that person's dealing with it.
Yeah, and that comes from her like TV show that she watches, doesn't it? Like, she's watching a superhero TV show and stuff, and she's talking about how, you know, it's cool as well how you sort of get like the retro perspective of it, because she's like, well, you're probably thinking like, well, why don't I do this or why don't I do that? But it's like, you know, as she was growing up, like, technology wasn't sort of as assistive as it is now. Like, even something like subtitles, you know, like, just wasn't available for her at the time. So and that's one where you're like, oh yeah, that's really weird, like, to not have subtitles. You just take it for granted now, don't you? That it's like, I just put subtitles on. I can't hear.
Because that is a really interesting one. Like we, like in my house, we watch everything with subtitles. We don't like, we don't need to, but
just choose to.
Well, just my wife loves having them on, so we just watch them with everything. And now I've got used to it. And you do, like, you, I don't know, you kind of learn to almost rely on them a little bit as well, because you miss bits without realizing. And I didn't really realize until we were watching stuff without, and then she'd be like, "What did they say?" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know." Watching it, like, "Well, I don't know."
Yeah.
So it is like mumbly stuff and stuff like that. It's just really interesting.
Yeah. See, I'm the opposite. Like, I unless I need subtitles on, I don't like them on. Like one of the first thing I do in games is like take the subtitles off.
Yeah.
I even like stopped playing a game the other day because you couldn't get rid of the subtitles, and it was just really frustrating me. So I was just like, yeah.
I mean, it's weird that it's a forced thing.
Yeah, right? I think they just assume it's like, oh, people will probably want to read it as well.
Yeah, but isn't that now, like, that's a thing now, isn't it? Like, a lot of people do use them.
Yeah. There was a little article on Twitter about like how Gen Z has sort of become obsessed with subtitles, and that was kind of about, you know, some of the reasons why they think people are using them more often. It's apparently like Stranger Things has had a big impact on that. And because that's one of those examples where the people that make the subtitles have sort of been kind of up in their game in weird ways by adding sort of descriptive sounds to the kind of stuff that's going on. So you get you know, desiccated withering, or like, you know, intense squelching, or like eldritch call. And you're like, what? Some of those things, you're like, I don't know what that means, but yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's impressive, I think, watching it. Sometimes you're like, that is exactly what it sounds like. And I would never have thought of, like, I couldn't have described it. Mm-hmm. It's just a weird sound that you wouldn't really need to describe.
Yeah. And as well, you don't think about the fact that there are sounds other than dialogue that are actually really important to the tone and what's going on, sort of thing. So it's like, oh yeah, that's actually really important. It says that they think that, you know, out of it's like 4 out of 5 Gen Zers like have subtitles on all or part of the time. So that's a lot of people using subtitles.
Yeah. So does it say anything about the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, they say that they think some of it is to do with, you know, it's like regional dialects and stuff. So it's audiences watching stuff from different places. So, for example, even like US viewers watching British shows, because of the accent, they might need the subtitles onto a system and understanding what we're saying. So, but I imagine that's you know, massively for, you know, if it's in another language, you need you know. So, but yeah, even with just dialect, and
I wonder if we have any American listeners that struggle with what we say.
Yeah, maybe.
If we do, let us know. I would love to know that.
I'd be interested. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you couldn't even tell us what you didn't understand we were saying, I suppose.
Yeah. But they're like, you know, that thing you said at 20.
Maybe they, yeah, maybe they don't understand this now. Maybe.
No, they're like, oh, I wish I knew.
I listen, but I don't understand. I
don't know what you're saying, guys. Yeah. Great show, though. Great show.
Let us know. That's an interesting one.
Another reason is they say that they think that a lot of people complain about particular actors who are like super into the role or very dramatic, or for whatever reason, they're very mumbly, or they're maybe like putting on a voice or something. And so it's just unclear what they're saying a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So that can be dependent on like the performance or the particular actor, which is quite funny.
Like, Batman and Bane.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what a combination.
Yeah. Like,
both, one of them's got a mask on at all times and speaks like a strange British man, and then the other one speaks like he's trying to shout at every given moment.
Shouting under his breath.
Yeah, which up until that thing film was previously impossible.
That's how it would be on the subtitle. It says
shouting
under his breath.
Yeah, I mean, that is an audio nightmare, that film.
Yeah.
And then the last reason, and the reason I think this checks out for me, I think this is that they think the tactic is that you can, if you have the subtitles on, you can glance up at the screen, and if the subtitles, a lot of the time they read ahead, you know, so they're getting the full sentence before the person is saying it. So you'll get the full sentence, you can read that, catch up on what's going on, and then return to looking at your phone.
That's really, what's sad about that is that, A, that it's a thing, but B, that it's probably the most likely reason.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just a guess, but that may, you know, when you hear that, you're like, yep, that's the one.
Yeah. So upsetting.
What's happened?
Yeah.
Are we just getting old, or is that bad?
I think it's bad. It is bad objectively, I think, because no one can truly multitask. That's the thing. Yeah, so whoever you're texting is getting a terrible message, or whatever you're trying to do on your phone, you're not doing it properly. You're not paying attention to that. You're also not paying attention properly to the show. So you are missing stuff. So you're doing neither of those tasks as well as you would do if you did one at a time. So, you know, at the very least, that is a bad thing.
And that's just a crazy way to watch a show anyway.
I know. I'm the opposite. I couldn't do that. I'm kind of get really into whatever I'm watching to the point that, you know, like, it's probably really annoying to be with me if there's a TV on, because I'm just in the TV. I'm not like in the room anymore. Whereas to be sort of like casually watching like a whole show just by like glancing up occasionally and then I'll just continue what I'm doing down here.
And that's just because, I mean, if I need to use my phone while something's on, obviously in the modern age, you can just pause it. But they must be on it that much that pausing it just means you can't watch it.
Yeah.
That's the... Imagine watching, you know, like Stranger Things and just looking up.
I watched Stranger Things for a series of stills with the subtitles on. Yeah. Like,
And no wonder the Kate Bush song is so popular.
Because
they can just hear that.
They can hear it.
They're just like, yeah, I'm just sitting here listening to Kate Bush.
It's
like, you know, that's actually just an episode of Stranger Things. Oh, yeah. Right.
Oh.
Yeah, I did know that actually because I read the entire script.
Yeah. It said 11 shouts aggressively. So I knew something was happening.
Yeah, yeah. 11 shouts under her breath.
Yeah. Bane mutters in English accent. Yeah, yeah. Stranger Things. Yeah,
yeah. Cool. Yeah, I know what's going on. And that's it. It's an interesting thing. I won't, like, a lot of that as well. Like, that's the one thing that does bother me when we have them on. If you're watching, you often, you know, if they pause for dramatic silence or something and then say something, you've already read it.
Yeah, yeah, that.
Like, it's like a, it's almost like a tiny 2-second spoiler.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is that. That is kind of like, but I mean, what can you do? That's got to be on the subtitle pacing end of things.
Yeah, I think it says that Netflix is you know, they're refining how they do their subtitles, and they're you know, there's lots of work to try and get the timing in.
Yeah.
You know, even more what precise this really than been.
Is like the thumbnails and pictures they use for like next episode, because it's always a spoiler in it.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
someone's about to die at the end, will they or won't they? And then you see the picture for the next episode, and it's like them, you know, playing a guitar or something.
Yeah, you're like, oh, they're fine then.
Ah, I see. Yes, they're alive and doing something completely different.
I don't know who chooses those, but yeah, that's
aggravating. That's right. Well, you know, that's another matter completely.
Yeah, yeah, it's a different show.
There's plenty of work to be done across the board here.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, to go back to the show, you know.
Mild digression from Al.
Yeah, mild digression. it's just really fresh. Is what I would say. Like, something unlike anything, you know, anything animated at least I've ever watched. And unlike many things anyway, how many shows are really about, you know, deaf community at all? Well, there are a couple, obviously, but it's not something you see often, is it?
No, no. So it is nice to have that representation in there, definitely. Yeah.
And stuff like this is definitely, you know, it is important, mm-hmm. no matter what people say, you know. Because if we can learn something, imagine what, you know, imagine if you'd learned this at a young age.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd change a lot more, wouldn't it? Like moving forward in your life.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So yeah, very impressive. But yeah, okay. Well, we've talked about it. So shall we go on to our final reviews?
Yes.
And now The Dark Knight Rises returns.
Breathy, quiet shouting. Bane, what are you doing here? You're not meant to be here, Bane. Curious masked British rumble. Batman, you seem to have found my lair. What a curious man you are.
I know my shadow. Hello, I find me.
Aggressive cough. Talked all the way through. Bane, it is not gentlemanly for you to approach me like this. Why are you such a strange man? Almost alien language spoke through a masked ventricle. Batman, we are both men, are we not? Should we not dine before we fight, since it seems inevitable? Strange cough. Sorry, Bane. It seems I've parked the Batmobile somewhere I shouldn't have. Half confused ramble. Ah, you've parked it exactly where you should have, actually. Batman, what a fine vehicle this is. And what a gentleman you do appear to be. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Who is this strange man you seem to have brought with you?
Hello. British
foolish nonsense. Oh, hello, Bane. I remember you from the club once. What a great man you are. Still doing the old cricket, are we? Odd, masky, strange sounds. Ah, the man from the club. Yes. Ah, did you bring any fruit with you? You were a man of fruit before, if there's one thing I remember about you. You loved your fruit. Crazy London nonsense. Ah, yes, Bane, of course. And look at this cherry. It seems to be almost the size of a tangerine.
Bruce Wayne?
Okay, so here at Toonja, we have a 3-point rating system that goes as follows. Thumbs up, illuminating the different walks of life. Thumbs down, you know, the Dark Knight's accent. Great. And shaky middle, the sound guy on the Dark Knight films. Not calling them out.
Yeah.
Shaky at best. But maybe he did, we don't know. Anyway, the point being, thumbs up good, thumbs down bad, shaky middle, not really sure about that one. So El Defo, episode 1, your thoughts?
Yes. Well, as soon as it began, you know, it seemed like it was going to be quite a delightful show, you know, like the look of it, the environment, the colours and everything. It was very, very pleasant, you know, very pleasant kind of look to it. And the animation, super smooth, very nice. Yeah, I was like, oh, this seems like it could be, you know, easy to ingest. And then, of course, like the story kind of hits you and you're then fully into, you know, how is this, you know, this child going to navigate this, you know, this world that now sounds very strange and, you know, it's very different to what you've sort of, you grew up knowing. And so, yeah, I was very much involved with this. Like, I don't think you can, I mean, you know, this is assuming you're not like trying to text 20 of your friends at the same time while watching the show. I don't think you can watch this and not be really involved with what's going on. And so it was really cool to learn these new perspectives on things, on what it was like growing up like this, on, you know, how the technology like aided or didn't help with, you know, what it was like trying to sort of navigate the world. And yeah, I feel like I learned a few things and, you know, my eyes were open to, you know, a different perspective entirely. So, yeah, you know, it was fun and it was educational. And yeah, and I enjoyed the experience all the way through. So I think for me, yeah, it's definitely going to be a thumbs up. I think it's a very, I think it's a show that we need, really, like in general. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I mean, thumbs up, a good review. I mean, there's not really anything bad to say about the show. It's definitely, it just shows you a world that you might not know much about. Like my, both my grandparents were deaf. And my mum's always sort of worked in with the deaf community and things like that, sign language and stuff. But, you know, I don't, other than sort of those, I don't know loads about, you know, things that I learned a fair bit from this episode, you know, sort of how difficult lip reading can be, which in a way you kind of know because you try and do it. But when it's, you really have to rely on it, you realize how difficult that must be. You know, how hearing aids sound, that's always been sort of like, you know, a curious thing. And that's the, you know, you always wonder, don't you, what it would be like. But at the same time, you know, that's about the end of it. And yeah, it was illuminating, like I say. And it is important that we know about this stuff, because there's people, you know, there is a large community of people that are, you know, going through this kind of stuff, and it's really interesting to know and important. And it was a good show anyway. You know, just seeing about a laugh was interesting. Like I say, you were pulled in from the start, really, really fascinating and honest as well.
Yeah,
like really nice. And just about, you know, growing up as well, not just with, you know, being deaf, but, you know, she has issues with her friends and stuff that anyone can relate to. And that's, I mean, anyone can relate to all of it, because, you know, you watch it and that's the point. So yeah, how could I give it anything but a thumbs up?
Look at that.
So there you go, two thumbs up again. We are on a real mighty streak at the moment.
just non-stop good stuff in 2022.
Yes. So who knows, maybe we will continue this. I doubt it. There's got to be something falling soon. But maybe you've got something you want to recommend us, for better or for worse. Feel free to do so on the three thumbs down of the internet, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at ToonJam Pod. Also, next week is another question episode, a quepisode, if you will. And our question is, can a cartoon series outshine its own film? So a film from the same property. We'll obviously delve into things like games and stuff like that as well, as usual. But if you have anything you want to add to that, please feel free to get in touch with us on those three thumbs down on the internet. So again, Toon Jam Pod. You'll find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we'll be reading out your comments too. We also have Patreon page for bonus episodes if you want to get some more stuff. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please feel free to rate and review us on whatever it is that you listen to. It really helps us out. But that's all we have time for today. So thank you so much for listening. And until next time, you
Hey everyone, thank you for listening. If you want to help the show keep going, you can be extra jammy by heading over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/toonjampod. Here you can get a shout out on the show or unlock bonus episodes. Ratings and reviews anywhere you listen to the podcast also really help us out. So thank you. and stay jammy.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.